but there was no awkward pause, or feeling of discomfort that something was expected which I did not know how to perform. Amra avoided that. "What a multitude of friends you have with you," he remarked in a persuasive manner, as an invitation to view the scene. At the foot of the steps, in a distinctive group, stood all those London friends of whom I have already spoken, and to these he drew my special attention, saying, "My brother, the Lord has promised that they, who sow in tears, shall reap in joy. In these, our friends, I wish you to behold the fulfillment thereof. Here you may see, so far as it has yet been gathered, the harvest of your life's work. You went to them bearing seed more precious than you could estimate, and though with a trembling hand and an uncertain knowledge you scattered it, still is the word of God it accomplished that whereto he sent it. Now your day in the harvest field is over, your work done, you return to the God who sent and commissioned you, bringing your sheaves with you. In the name of Christ who redeemed us, I thank you for your ministry of love, for inasmuch as ye did it to these ye did it also to him." In vain did I assure him that in the little I had been able to do I had been most greatly blessed, that the ministry to which he referred had been the bright spot in an otherwise most intolerable life, that the enjoyments which naturally accrued were far more than compensation for any sacrifice it might have demanded, while I was painfully conscious of how much I had omitted to do in comparison with the trifle accomplished. He knew all about it, as I should understand when at leisure to study the record of my work, which had been kept and was open to my perusal within. There I should see the net results so far, compiled by one too wise to err in judgment or estimate. Then he gave me his benediction and departed, leaving Mahanin to further introduce me to my home. I wish I could find words to convey even a faint idea of the beauty and completeness of that house, but if I attempted it I should fail, even at the outset. So that must pass. But there is one matter to which I must refer, because of its serious import to those still in the flesh. Jesus Christ, speaking of the many mansions in his Father's house, said to his disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you. But what about the furnishing thereof?" This is a thought which had never once crossed my mind until I entered my new abode. Then another great revelation was made to me. Every article of furniture, ornament or decoration, was most vividly associated with, as though it had been manufactured from comma some act, word, or feature of my earth, life. It was a terrible truth to learn, how I wished I had known it earlier. One of the rooms contained a series of pictures giving the record to which Amra had referred. At a glance I could see the result was by no means perfect. The original design, in every case perfectly visible, was always more or less spoiled in the equally apparent errors. In them I could easily detect the weaknesses I still labored under, and the numerous defects which would need to be remedied before I could reach that higher link of life, from the view of which I had just returned. In studying this record, I could fairly estimate the work that lay before me, but was also conscious of the fact that such a home and surroundings wherein to undertake the task must in themselves be calculated to contribute half the success. Then again, what inestimable advantages were available in the new and larger faculties which I had become possessed of? What companionships should I enjoy? What experience could I not consult? Mahanin presently led me past one doorway, over which the curtains were closely drawn. I would have entered the, for some invisible power took possession of me, a voice from out the silence seemed to call me, and I paused in answer to its cry. But claiming my attention to other objects, as if ignorant of my wish, my guide led me up to the roof, from which I could take another view of the city, and one which, in the time to come, would be the most familiar and valued from its associations. The air, and the interest the view aroused, overcame the agitation I felt in passing that forbidden door, and when I had grown quite calm, my companion said, "Now, my pleasant duty is at an end for the present. Come with me one moment, and then I will say adieu." When we again reached that door he waved his hand for me to enter alone, then passed out and was gone. I knew what he meant. In that room one was waiting to welcome me home, for the touch of whose vanished hand, and the sound of whose voice my heart had ever cried and groaned, one who had sacrificed her life in giving me mine, one whose absence had sadly unfitted me for the battle I had been compelled to fight, one whose name I had frequently called upon in the darkness of my desolation without any answering response. Had she but been spared to me even for the first few years, so that the presence of her memory could have remained with me, how different might my life have been. The misanthrope might possibly then have become a man, playing a manly part in the regeneration of the world, and accomplishing some little work worthy of remembrance. But alas! The shadow born with me could not be dispelled, and the burden of its gloom was the cross which was now to be finally lifted from my shoulders. Reader, when I was at the home of the Assyrian I stood, like you do now, upon the threshold of such another meeting, but you will remember I told you when that moment came, which was too sacred for a stranger's eyes to look upon, I turned away that I might not profane the occasion by my presence. Now I would ask you to pardon me if I should leave you here while I pass through the draperies, and for the first time in my whole existence, that I know of, gaze upon that long-sought face. The ground across this slight boundary is far too sacred to me for strangers' feet to tread at present, the vision awaiting me too holy to offer for public inspection. For me earth's fitful fever now is over, I have safely found my way, by our Father's goodness, through the mists, and for the present, wishing you an affectionate adieu, I raise these silken folds, to find myself at home within the loving arms of my mother. The end. There are two more wonderful books in this series, continuing the adventures. These are, The Life Elysian and The Gate of Heaven. Both can be found as free e-books on this page, http://newbirth.net/books_life_after_death.htm.